Hey there, I'm so pumped to tell you about an amazing new community I've launched called Grief to Growth Circle Community. It's a space for people who are grieving to come together to support each other and for people who want to know who we are, why we're here, and where we're going to have those conversations, all the things we talk about on the podcast. So I invite you to join me at grieftogrowth.com/community to become part of this compassionate crew. The best part is 100% free. And you have access to me in addition to everybody else in the community. In fact, the podcast will be there so you can talk about the things we talk about in the podcast right there in the community. There's also some premium content if you want to go deeper in the work I'm doing, but mostly it's about building relationships and community and about sharing resources and supporting each other. So come on over and check it out. It's grieftogrowth.com/community. I'll see you inside.
Hi there. Welcome to Grief to Growth Podcast. Your host is Brian Smith, spiritual seeker, best-selling author, grief survivor, and life coach. Brian believes that the worst tragedies of life provide the greatest opportunity for growth. Brian says he was planted, not buried, and he is here to help you grow where you've been planted by the difficulties in life. In each episode, Brian and his guests will share what has helped them to survive and thrive. It is his sincere hope this episode helps you today.
Hi, everybody. This is Brian Smith back with another episode of Grief to Growth. And I've got with me today Sue Pagini. And Sue is a transformational life coach, and she's also had three near-death experiences. So we're going to talk about her near-death experiences and what Sue has to tell us today. So I'm going to go ahead and read her bio, and then we'll have our conversation. Sue is an award-winning author on the subject of near-death and the wisdom that comes from such experiences. She's, as I said, she's had three near-death experiences herself, one as recently as November 2019. And Sue's passion is helping others discover more about themselves after an extraordinary experience to combat the death of a loved one. We're going to talk about the coronavirus pandemic today, which is on everybody's mind. But even things such as the loss of a job or career or financial hardship, which we're also going through as a result of this coronavirus. Sue says that life is all about change and it's all about reconstructing our lives. Sue, as I mentioned earlier, she's a seminar leader. She's a transformational life coach. She's a motivational speaker. And her biggest desire is to help others understand their unique spiritual selves. So with that, I want to welcome Sue Pagini. And I want to spell your name for everybody, Sue. It's Sue, and then it's P-I-G-H-I-N-I. And that's also Sue's website. It's SuePagini.com. So Sue, welcome. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Brian. Thank you.
Speaking of challenges, we had a few challenges getting this set up, but we're here now. We got through that. We do have a bit of a delay, so you may notice there's a little bit of a lag when I ask Sue a question. I'm going to pause and allow her to answer. So just wanted to let everybody know up front, it's just a little bit of a technical issue, but we'll work through it. So Sue, you've had three near-death experiences. If you could, tell me about your one or two of your near-death experiences, and what did you learn from those?
Okay, I think it's... I had my first one in 1982. I was struck by lightning. And I'm going to go through the three because they're very different. Mm-hmm. The first was, as I said, 1982. I was struck by lightning when I was climbing in the hills of Arizona during a rainstorm, which happened when I was climbing in the hills. And a voice came to me when I had been thrown up in the air and down on the ground. And it came to me and said, "You cannot leave now. You must go back to the children." And with that, I saw visuals of my two children, my son on my left and my daughter on my right. And the voice then said, "Move your legs back and forth, back and forth, so the fire does not reach your heart." So I did that, and then I came to. And then it's the story of how I survived, etc. But the important thing was, in those days, you could not speak about near death. You couldn't talk to anyone. You couldn't chat about it. It was really verboten. So I didn't for many years. And then in 2016, I had just published Expect the Extraordinary. And it was on the market. And I was doing radio interviews and super busy. And all of a sudden, I'm standing at my window and I'm looking out the window, and we have horses here. That's why our connection is so bad, because I live in the country. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking out at the horses in the front pasture, And coming across the pasture is this huge white light. And I'm going, what is that? And, you know, to myself, because I'm on the radio and I'm talking with someone. So this light then comes across the pasture, up through the front yard, into my window, into my forehead. And I'm on this still interview still. And I say to the interviewer, I said, Gail, I'm really sorry, but I think I have the flu all of a sudden, and I'm going to have to stop our interview. Thank God it was being taped. It was not live. So she said, can you come back? And I said, I don't think so. So with that, I hung up and fell to the ground. I had my phone with me, dialed my husband, and I told him he has a medical background. And I said, this is what's going on. He called 911 immediately. He was not with me. He was out doing some things. So he comes rushing back. The ambulance comes. I had a brain aneurysm. They rush me to a hospital here. This is how synchronicity works for all of us. They rushed me to a hospital in Richmond, Virginia, because the local hospital did not have the equipment for this type of aneurysm. So the aneurysm was behind my right ear, and one of the most famous brain surgeons is here on the East Coast, and he was at Richmond. He was at Virginia Commonwealth University Hospital. And he came in after they had finally got me settled down, and he said, we have never seen this before, and I've been doing this for 20-something years, and I've never seen the location before. As a matter of fact, we can't exactly find it. So he went in. They did find it, and he brought me back out before doing anything. He said, I just want you to know that this is so rare that none of the research has information on this type of brain aneurysm. You are one of 15 people in the last 25 years that has had this aneurysm and lived.
Wow.
Are you comfortable with me going in? I said, I don't think I have a choice. He said, yeah, it's kind of iffy. So he was fabulous. His name is Dr. Dennis Rave. He is extraordinary. He brought me through. Here I am today. I still have bits and pieces of things that I have to work on. And, but it left me with an understanding that every time I go through a major physical event, I am connected. So during this particular time, when they did the last angiogram, I feel myself lifting up from the table that they had me on onto another table. And all around me, all around the side and the foot of that table, are little white angelic presences. They're not very tall. Maybe they were 4 feet. And then right behind my right shoulder was this very white, dressed in white, large presence. And they said, or the voice from the large presence said, we have you. And with that, I came through. And I've often asked myself, was that the staff? Was that the medical staff that said that? The sense was, is that it could have been. It could have been, but these entities were there to protect me and bring me through. So that was number two. Number three happened last November. Wow. I had some facial surgery because I had cancer on my nose. And this was the second half of the surgery, 2 or 3 weeks later. And it was not a major surgery. I was just under twilight. And with that, as I was coming out of the twilight, I could feel myself. I was in some other location. And around me, again, were all these individuals in white, all of these, and they looked like people in white. And they were not medical staff because they'd been in blue. And what the voice said to me then was, you're not leaving now. And they touched my legs. And I came back, and I was just so disoriented. And I asked the nurses, I said, why am I shaking so hard? Because I was shaking like my teeth were chattering so hard. And they said, you're not shaking, Sue. Then I had to be shaking when I was coming out of recovery upstairs. And they brought down the anesthesiologist, and he said, Sue, it was one of the quietest surgeries we've ever had. There was nothing. You were quiet as a mouse. I went, wow. So what I felt was in this third episode is that, was I trying to leave? And the universe and the entities were saying, no.
Yeah.
No, this is not your time. So the reason these are important, and the reason I'm being so visual and so detailed with these, is that mm-hmm. I want your audience to understand that they are never alone.
Mm. Yeah.
Regardless of what we go through, and it's very hard to believe right now, it was very hard to believe it for 9/11. Mm-hmm. Massive change is here. It is in front of us now. Mm-hmm. And we can go into that. I don't want to change the direction of your interview, but
no, that's great, because I think, as you said, there, when we have these experiences, there's a lesson in them, right? And you're talking about, you know, these are obviously challenges, great challenges that you have, but you came back with wisdom and information that we can all use. So yeah, please feel free to share.
Okay, then as we've gone through this coronavirus in the last several weeks, or the last couple of months even, I often ask why. And there's been all kinds of information leading up to this. And it's the real overriding big picture reason is because we all need to share love more. We don't even know the people that we're sharing love with, but we as a humanity, this is worldwide, need to share love. We are the only planet in the universe that has free will. And the energy that is changing right now is all about coming from your heart space, not coming from your brain. So it's about, what can I do as an individual to enhance my heart space? And when we do that, the fear dissipates, because now we're coming from another location. We're not coming from up here. We're coming from here. And I would like the audience to know that the heart that we're talking about is not right here over the left-hand side so much. It's mm-hmm. right here in the middle of your body. Hmm. This is called the high heart, and it has a brain of its own, and it helps our soul connect to where we can live the very best lives ever. So the big picture is, if we look at what people are doing for each other, it's on the press every single day. Young people taking food to the elderly, people singing from the balconies in Italy, doctors and nurses working 24/7. We are giving of ourselves from the inside out in order to make this a better world. Mm-hmm. And the concept also, I feel, is that countries and nations that do not meet this criteria, that do not jump on board with the selfless caring that's taking place, will end up not doing so well. So if we look at China, Iran, Korea, Russia, all of, and parts of Africa, all of this needs to change. These nations are being forced into change. So for us in this country, since we come from a democratic free will society, I feel that we are being used as the example. And that for your audience, the first place that we start now to expand our heart space and love is with ourselves.
Yeah.
So we take care of ourselves physically. We take care of ourselves emotionally. We take care of our loved ones so that our heart expands. Mm-hmm. And as it expands, it can go anywhere from 3 feet to 6 feet. That energetic vibration of love expands. It's the most powerful energy on the planet, in the universe.
Yeah.
And because we have free will, we get to extend it out. So that's what I feel for the coronavirus. The other thing that I want to help people understand is that in order for you to allow this new energy of love to expand, we must simplify. So we're being forced to do that.
Yeah.
I fortunately live on a farm. So I can be running outside with horses. There's nobody around but me and my husband, and I have dogs. And so I get to be out in nature, which constantly fills me up with more love. So I ask your audience to find visuals online on their TV of nature, of animals. I constantly post on my Facebook page, Sue Pagini. I constantly post anything about animals to give people a laugh, a warm feeling, to help them expand who they are.
Yeah.
So let me not keep going here.
No, I'm just enjoying listening to you. But I'm thinking as we talk about, you know, the coronavirus, which is the topic. We're recording this on April 3rd, 2020, and we're hopefully nearing the peak of this thing here in the United States. But it has really forced us all to slow down and to simplify, whether we want to or not. And I live in a suburban area, and I walk every day. And I've noticed so many more people out walking with their kids, walking with each other, you know, because you can't go to the mall right now. You can't go to the movies. You can't do all these things we do to distract ourselves. This virus is causing us to really look within. We can't even go visit our friends and family right now. So it's really like I feel like it's kind of a reset that it's saying, okay, you've got to just stop and rethink everything you're doing.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey there, something I want to tell you about today. My podcast platform, Buzzsprout, has recently made it easier for me to allow you to support me financially. Go to www.grieftogrowth.com/subscribe. That's grief2growth.com/subscribe. And once you're there, you can sign up to support me financially. Now, you can do it for as little as $3 a month or, of course, as much as you'd like. If you do that, you'll get access to bonus episodes, and you'll see those in the regular feed. They'll have a lock on them. But when you become a subscriber, you'll actually get access to your own private feed, and you'll be able to listen to the regular podcast along with the bonus podcast for the subscribers. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for sharing the podcast. And I want to thank those of you who support me financially. Have a great day, and on to the episode.
And in my terminology, I'm calling that a planetary pause. Mm-hmm. It is so important that we understand that we are part of a very big picture in the United States. And we are a very different country because we have tried to stand up for what, since we were born, since this country was founded, mm-hmm. that we have tried to understand and live for the individual. So each of us in our individuality, for us to stand up and go inside and say, what's really important to me? And particularly now when finances are getting to be a little on the iffy side. Yeah. Do I need that new car? Probably not. Do I need to clean out the basement and get rid of all the stuff that's there in boxes? Probably yes. Yeah. And I'm using myself as an example.
That's what my wife is doing right now. Literally, she's cleaning out a closet in the basement. So it's funny you mentioned that.
Right. Right. Because it's simplifying. And when we do that, it makes us freer. Because now we have additional space, literally physical space, to bring in those new vibrations of love and expand them out. Mm-hmm. But when we are covered with running and doing all the time and not being centered, and I'm not talking about meditating, I'm talking about just being centered. Mm-hmm. Who am I? Who do I want to be? What are my gifts and talents? What was I born with that I can now expand and share with the world? That happens to be some of the seminars and classes I teach, because when we realize that we came into this world gifted with unusual gifts and talents, and they only belong to us, not that someone else doesn't have the same gifts and talents, but coming from our voice, it's different. So getting to know ourselves and be happy with ourselves and appreciate ourselves gives the energy of the physical body to heal. It gives us an opportunity to expand that healing and love to others, but it must start with the individual first.
Yeah, you know, it's I think that's like I said, there's so much fascinating about the way this virus is working and changing the way we do things, at least, you know, right now. Because as you said, it does start with the individual first. We have to expand love, but we have to first turn within, and it's forcing us to do that. And I know it's making a lot of people very uncomfortable, because they just want to get back to, you know, going to the movies and going out and doing all those things, and they want to return to normal.
Right. But we're hoping that it's going to be a new normal.
Yeah.
All right. Because Mother Earth and the universe will not allow us to go back to the old ways. This is a new world.
Yeah.
It started in the year 2000, and it has expanded little by little by little. And the year 2020 that we are now in is the year of transformation. And the energy of this transformation is so powerful that some physical bodies cannot take it in. The need to change is so strong that we either address it and ask ourselves what is really important for us to be whole from the inside out, or we end up having additional physical issues. Now, I'll use myself as an example. I had a small spot here on my nose that I didn't address. And one of the backgrounds that I have is mind-body work. And so the mind produces what the body shows us. And when we have a skin issue of any type, it is about allowing toxic emotions to be released. It can come in the urinary tract, it can come in the colon, or it can come in the skin, wherever we release. Mm-hmm. So my issue was, what are my toxic emotions? As soon as this happened, and I went in and I said, I have this little spot, and they said, that's not a little spot. We're going to have to do reconstructive surgery on your nose. Mm. So they took off part of my nose and reconstructed it.
Wow.
And yeah, it was a real wake-up call for me. And that wake-up call was, what is really important to you, Sue? Who do you really want to be? Do you feel that you need to follow other people's guidance and other people's paths and other people's direction of you? No, I don't want to do that anymore. Even at my older age, any time in life is a good time for a wake-up call.
So
for me, it was, how do I want to live going forward? Starting in November, who am I? Who am I really? And this is what I want your audience to ask themselves. That's why we are being sequestered, is to find out who we are.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I interview a lot of people who have had near-death experiences. I work with parents who've lost children through Helping Parents Heal. And it seems like it's these big challenges in life. It seems like kind of takes that. It takes getting knocked off course. We're all in this course, and we're kind of walking around like mindless robots, just living what everybody else wants us to do. But it's when we get knocked off course that we wake up and say, wait a minute, it's just the course I really want to be on. And at least in our lifetime, our parents' lifetime even, we've never had a reset like this for the entire planet, where the entire planet is being forced to slow down. And to the point where physically, I saw the other day, the seismologists are saying they're getting much, much more sensitive reading out of their seismographs now, because people are literally moving less and there's less background noise. We've seen air quality improve. We've seen water quality improve just in a couple of weeks. So we're seeing like a reset of the earth. I mean, it's literally a reset. And when I wake up in the morning, I think somebody on the other side of the world is thinking the same thing I am. They're thinking about the coronavirus. And it's like we've all been given like a diagnosis that you have a chance of dying. This is a really real chance that you might not make it through this year. Most of us never think about that. And it's forcing people to face our mortality, but also our immortality, you know, that we are eternal beings. We don't die. But the fact that these bodies are vulnerable.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi there. I'm really excited to tell you about my latest ebook. It's 4 lessons that you can learn from the near-death experience without going through all the trouble of dying to learn them. I've been studying NDEs for several years now. I am completely convinced that not only are they 100% real, but that there's some very universal wisdom that we can get from the near-death experience. And I've distilled that down in this book into 4 short lessons. And I've also given you all the reasons why I believe that NDEs are absolutely real. So go to www.grieftogrowth.com/NDE lessons to pick it up for free. www.grief2growth.com/NDE lessons. I hope you enjoy it.
Right. And I think that Mother Nature, who is our mother, everything we get to live on comes from Mother Nature. We can't have a house without the trees, and we can't have food without it being planted by Mother Nature. And I don't think she likes what we've done in many ways. We've polluted the waters and the air, and we have polluted our minds by not being clear about what's really important. And when we are so busy wondering what the next thing is that we're going to purchase, instead of spending time out of doors in appreciation for what we see and feel every day, mm-hmm. and the gratitude that we have. I mean, I well know what it's like to live in a heavy suburban area. I worked in New York City for years. And you can't, when I think of the time I worked there and what I see on the news now, where there's nobody on the streets, there were hundreds and hundreds of people per block in New York City. Mm-hmm. Yes. All of us rushing. All of us rushing.
Yeah.
And now we don't have any place to rush to. So I think it is so important for us to ask us who, each of us ask ourselves, who are we? What do I want to accomplish? Tomorrow is not a given. I can speak from personal experience. It is not a given. Mm-hmm. So every day that you and I and your audience are grateful for being alive is another day that our gratitude expands who we are, and the things that are important come to us. So gratitude is a huge part of who we are.
You're absolutely right. And I feel like I have a gratitude practice. I wake up every morning and I try before I get out of bed to say 3 things I'm grateful for. And I've been doing this for a couple of years now. But what I realize is no matter even that, I still take things for granted. So a couple of weeks ago, I go to Trader Joe's to get eggs. And I was grateful to find eggs because there were no eggs in this city for, you know, for several days. You know, we're grateful now for finding toilet paper. You know, we're looking forward to being able to see our friends again. We have very close friends that we can't see right now. And you kind of take it for granted that you're going to see them, you know, next week or whatever. But now, you know, I'm really looking forward to just those really simple things. So hopefully, you know, we'll remember this, you know, once we come out of this.
Well, I think the fear, and I'm hoping that it's the change, is deeply implanted in our DNA now, or will be when this is over. Because I'm in Virginia, and we still have easily 60 days to go. Mm-hmm. The height of this is not supposed to even reach us here in Virginia until May 25th. Mm. Mm. So we have a long way to go.
Yeah.
And the longer we are in this transitory period, the deeper it will settle. Yeah. So the faster that we as humanity come to the realization that change and change for love is the only way that we as a society and humanity can go forward. I think the sooner we do that, the faster this will be over, because it will be a permanent DNA cell change.
Yeah. I tell you, Sue, that's actually the scary part for me, because I believe this virus is here to teach us a lesson, whether it was sent by the universe or whether it's called by our collective consciousness or sent by God or however people want to phrase that. I think it was here to send us a lesson, and I think it's going to do whatever it takes to send that lesson. And I pray for it to be over quickly. I pray for it to be as few, you know, deaths as possible. I want to put this behind us, but I think we do have to learn the lesson. And I think it's, as you said, the worst of it's still to come. We know that even from the models we've got. We're in early April now, and they're telling us, you know, it's going to peak. You know, I'm hoping at the end of the month, you know, it may be the end of May in certain parts of the country. I see what's going on in Florida right now. I mean, Florida, it's going to be, I think it's going to be bad there. We have
and
to.
And we were planning on moving back.
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. We had property at one point. We're horse people. And mm-hmm. So Ocala, Florida is a huge horse location. And okay. we were looking at homes to sell this ranch because we didn't want to be in the winters anymore. Well, now Florida's out of the question.
Yeah.
So we have to be grateful for where we are.
Yes. Yes.
My husband and I.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. So for us, it was an eye opener that said, wow, this is pretty fabulous. I think we need to be grateful for where we are.
Yeah. It's these next few weeks. I mean, it's April 3rd and people are, you know, looking at the numbers every day at the number of cases and the number of deaths and everything. And it's going to, next few weeks are going to be bad. I mean, they're just going to be bad. And we have to, what I want to do is to offer people hope to let them, you know, feel like there's a purpose in this for us as a planet. And that's all for us individually. I have a 23-year-old daughter and I was talking to her yesterday and she's in grad school and her school's shut down now. They're learning remotely but she's in mental health counseling. She likes being with people. So she said that's been, you know, at her work, she can't see clients face to face and she can't go out with her friends. And I said, you know, I'm really sorry you're having to go through this, but this is going to define a generation. I mean, this is something that this is our World War II. This is our Spanish flu of 1918. This is our thing that's going to define us as a generation. And we need to use it for positive change to move forward.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm Zooming with my family tomorrow. I have grandchildren and I haven't seen them forever or my children forever. And we're going to Zoom tomorrow. And then for Easter, we're going to Zoom. And how interesting I find, you know, if I look at all these things that were set up for us, the whole technology drive that has taken place in the last 10 years has brought you and I to this fabulous location of we can have a conversation from around the world or from across the country.
Yeah.
And it's as if all of these steps were set up for us and we had no idea that they were being set up for such an important reason. I mean, Zoom could have come 5 years from now instead of now, you know? So I think it's been really amazing. It's really amazing if we look back and see where we are. I just got a call the other day, not a call, but an email from my doctor's office, which is a huge practice. And they said, we are telemedicine every single day. So if you have a problem, get in touch with us because we are here. We are telemedicine. So it's really opening up avenues that nobody thought was possible before, yeah. Or certainly not in this time frame of 2020.
Well,
so I think it's exciting.
Yeah, thank God for this technology. I mean, we, Helping Parents Heal, we had a conference scheduled for April. We were going to bring all these parents in. We had 600 people coming to this conference in Charleston, South Carolina, which, of course, we had to cancel. But almost every single speaker has said, I still want to participate. So we're, through the technology of Zoom, we're able to bring these speakers to our parents, and we're having regular meetings. Our face-to-face meetings we can't do right now, but we have, because we have this technology, we're able to continue forward. And I've seen these people that create content like I do, they're just really, there's been an explosion of content. Because everybody wants to know, what can I do? How can I help out? And while we can't get together physically, we can get together like this and you know, be safe, but also still reach each other, still have that connection, that heart connection, and, you know, not feel like we're so alone even while we're isolated.
Yes, which is unbelievable. It's fantastic that we can do this now. So I think, you know, regardless of what goes on in our lives, if we look at what the wisdom is, what the teaching might be, why did this happen? Why did I lose a job? Why did I lose a child? Why did I lose a spouse? You know, grief is a very difficult thing. I went through it myself for quite a while. So I've not lost a child, but I lost a spouse. And it was 10 years of trying to help him medically, and then he passed. And so you just have to sit back and take a breath and say, okay, I helped that person the best way I could. I did as much as I could in that lifetime with that person. And now what else can I do? How else can I help others? What more can I do, you know, for everyone else?
Yes.
So you know that better than anyone.
I do. And, you know, the thing is, as I said, you know, from your experience and my experience and just what as I've talked to people in general, it is these challenges in life that we learn from as much as we hate it. That's just the way humans are. And I think that's natural. I think that evolutionarily we're designed to minimize effort. So as long as something's working for us, we continue to do that thing. That makes sense. But sometimes we need these disruptions in our routines to say, hey, wake up. There's a better way to do this. And in the case of our planet right now, we're on an unsustainable course, and everybody knows that. But we're just like, can we just eke it out for a little while longer? Can we just keep doing things the way we are because we're comfortable with it? We really don't want to change. Change is going to be painful. It's going to mean sacrifice, and we don't want to do that. And now we're being shown in very real terms, that we've got to make some changes. And we're also, you know, it's really interesting how the world's being turned upside down. I think about who the essential workers are right now. We've always said it's the job creators that are the important people. But now we're appreciating the truck drivers and the grocery store employees and the people that deliver our food so we don't have to go to the grocery store. And we're realizing that all those people are, you know, all their jobs are valuable, where we haven't valued those things in the past. So I'm hoping that this is enough of a reset that we can come out of it, you know, better.
Well, let me throw a couple of other things out here in the wisdom of a near-death experience.
Yeah.
And this is really an equalizer. So the person that delivers my newspaper is on equal footing with me. Mm-hmm. In Spain, there's a YouTube video that has gone viral showing the doctors and nurses in Spain at a hospital clapping and whistling for the workers that were the cleaning crew that were cleaning the floors and sanitizing the hospital. And when they came in on that floor, everyone stood up and clapped and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So we are equal human beings. And as souls, we came into this world volunteering to be here at this time, to help make these changes come through, for me to go through, and for anybody else who's gone through major experiences. For me, I volunteered to go through these near-death experiences. Mm-hmm. And when I got out of that aneurysm, I said, you've got to be kidding me. But it was about my ability as a soul, not as a human being, but it was about my ability to raise my hand and volunteer to download, if you will, any wisdom that I could receive to pass on. Mm-hmm. First to integrate, and it took me many years to integrate the lightning accident. And the wisdom started coming, and I just didn't realize it, even though my life totally changed right after the lightning strike. I was changing and changing, and I was integrating that wisdom. So all of your audience is going to be integrating. When I say that the cells are going to be changing, they're going to be integrating with the wisdom that they are receiving during this time.
Yeah.
So the coronavirus is giving us a wisdom to be a better human being, to be more conscious of our earth, to be more grateful for our loved ones and our pets and the things that are really important. And if you look at that, all of those things, the pets, and I have a little fat one sleeping over here, the pets, the loved ones, they are all a symbol of love. Mm-hmm. They're not a symbol of a new purchase. They're not a symbol of things. They're a symbol of what goes on in our hearts. So I keep saying the word love because that really is the very big picture. It's the connection of love. We're all connected. As souls, a little more wisdom. I'm a full believer in reincarnation. If your audience is questioning that or they may not know about that, they can look up a Dr. Brian Weiss, W-E-I-S-S, who is really the grandfather of past life experiences, which translates into reincarnation. As souls, when we came into this, what we call incantation, what we came into this lifetime with was to stand in line. All of these souls, millions and millions of them, are all lined up. And they're behind us or with us. And they say to us, I want to go, but your job is more important than what I can do. So even though I want to go to Earth to help it be reborn, you have the ability to do that. So we are all supporting you, whoever you may be, you, me, your audience, all of us who are here today on the 3rd of April. We are being reborn with the help of all of these other entities and souls who could have been here, but we were chosen to come. So I think that should help everyone understand how important they are.
Absolutely.
How important they are to this mix, this rebirth, this change that we are going through right now.
Yeah, you know, as you were saying that, I don't know if you're familiar with Natalie Sedman's near-death experience. She wrote a book called The Application of Impossible Things. And she goes through these three different environments or near-death experiences. But one of the environments she finds herself in like this theater. And there are all these beings around her. And she's basically downloading the experience and the wisdom that she got while she was here. And showing the importance, as you said, of each of us for being here. And I want to emphasize what you said. Everybody that's here on this planet right now chose to be here at this time for a reason. We all have a purpose of serving. You also touched on the great equalizer. So we may feel like if I'm not the CEO, then maybe I'm not as important because all I do is I'm a janitor or I cut grass or whatever. And we're all right now applauding these people because we're finally appreciating how important they are.
Yes. Yes. And if we look at all aspects of our lives, the other thing that I would want to mention is the more that everyone who's listening can bring Mother Nature inside, and that means plants, oxygen, pets, of course, anything that can lift your spirit and provide your physical system with more oxygen. So when you sleep at night, if you can get a green plant to come inside with you, you are now transferring your CO2 with the oxygen that plant is putting out. Mm-hmm. And those are very strong aspects for us to keep the lungs and the rest of our body clear and open. So that is another little tidbit. I've got a lot of plants in my house, mm-hmm. a lot of watering, but a small price to pay for them to be part of what we do here.
Absolutely. Well, Sue, tell me about your book, Expect the Extraordinary. What will I find when I get your book?
Okay, well, I don't know, can you see this? Can you see the title at all, or is it backwards?
Nope, I see it.
Okay, all right. So this is Expect the Extraordinary. This is about my first near-death experience, because the other two came after this book was published.
Right. Yeah.
And about two other folks, two men each of whom are very unique, and the near-death experiences that they had. And then it is also about the wisdom that mind-body expansion will give your audience, as well as the wisdom of the animal world. So there is a place in here, a chapter that is about Sky, and she was my first horse. I didn't take up horses until I was 60. And so they have become my mainstay through these physical events that I have recently had. It's been so important for me to go out and reconnect with them and to allow their power, because their love and intuition is five times ours. So it's been very important for me to reconnect with them so that I can stay strong. And they have helped me immeasurably. And that's one of the things that we do here. So this book is dedicated. It's on Amazon and all the major booksellers. I offer, it's on sale for $10. It's a $16.95 book because it's in color. I'm happy to have folks get on my website and order it there so that I can send them an autographed copy. Happy to do that. Same price. So it is really about realizing that we are more than we think we are, that we are much bigger, as I talk about the vibration of the energy that comes from us, that the more we expand from the heart, the bigger the vibration is, and the more that the more good we can do in the world.
Yeah, so that's really the premise. The thing about near-death experiences, and I've been studying them for, you know, as I said, a couple of decades, the experiences themselves are fascinating and they're wonderful to listen to, but it's the wisdom that comes from them that's really important. And we don't have to have a near-death experience to get that wisdom. We can study near-death experiences. We can listen to the people that have had them that come back and tell us, you know, you are more than you think you are. You are here for a purpose. You are infinitely loved. You're more powerful than you think. All those lessons we can learn from reading books like yours and listening to people like you talk. And then we have these events that come along, like we're this very unique event we're all experiencing right now, the coronavirus, that can give us all, you know, at least an opportunity to reset, to think about how we're doing things and to really go within so that we can connect, you know, outward.
And we are, again, we chose to be here. So we chose for this experience to expand ourselves. So I think we have to look at it in another light versus the fear and desperation. And we've been given directions to go in. Social distancing, washing our hands. We've been given directions of where we need to be, and we need to be using those parameters in order to stay healthy, because we're here for a reason.
Yeah.
We're here to make change.
Yeah. And even those things are ways to take care of the other while we're taking care of ourselves. I mean, I've heard some young people say, because when this thing first started coming, they basically told young people, you're immune, you can't get it. But now we're finding out that young people can be carriers. So when we practice these social distancing things and we're washing our hands and we're thinking we're taking care of ourselves, that's all important. But we're also taking care of everybody else when we do that, when we do the social distancing, because we don't know, we may be an asymptomatic carrier. So the more that we do these things, it's really emphasizing the whole, how as an individual, you're part of the whole. And it's a symbiotic relationship.
Right. And we're all connected. So we need to be thinking about our brothers and sisters and their children. And I think it's been a huge wake-up call. I just read the other day, I'm originally from Texas, and I read the other day that 28 young people from UT, the University of Texas, because they went to Padre Island for spring break, 28 now have coronavirus. So this is, again, a huge wake-up call for every single one of our demographics for us to pay attention to, you know, to. And let's talk about our elderly, you know, by taking care of them. When we take care of ourselves, we take care of them.
Yes, absolutely. So Sue, you're also a transformational life coach. Tell me about what kind of life coaching you do.
Well, I do one-on-one life coach, as you and I are doing right now. I do that coaching in order to help people make transitions in life. So until now, with the coronavirus, the work that I've done has been making job changes and relationship changes and changes as to how a person can be more of themselves, being truer to themselves. It's one of the main aspects of this coronavirus, and that is, what is my truth? So I do that on a one-to-one basis, and then I give seminars to businesses and government agencies on Light Your Life on Fire. And that is about finding what your passion is, finding what your gifts and talents are, and how can I make myself and where I'm working a much better situation and a much more in my business world, because I was in the business world for a long time. It's about how can I make myself happier and my company more profitable?
Yes.
So I do that as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think, you know, the timing of us getting together is not an accident, you know, to talk about these things, these transitions, these transformations that we're going through, that many of us are being forced into. And it's going to be with us for a while, even if the virus does peak in the next several weeks. I was watching some numbers today as far as our economy goes. You know, unemployment, they're expecting to spike up. It already has. And it's going to stay that way. They were saying it's probably not going to be a smooth or a very fast curve back to where we were. So there are going to be a lot of people saying, they're going to be reevaluating. What should I really be doing? What can I do to contribute to things? So I think as we go through this, people like yourself and myself, you know, we can help people as they make these evaluations and as they decide what they really want to do going forward and stop, as I said earlier, kind of sleepwalking through and just this whole consumer mentality as we've been forced to not consume for a little while. We can't go to the movies. We can't go out to eat. We can't go shopping. I just saw a meme on Facebook. Someone said, I just want to go touch all the stuff that I don't buy. Because people just go to the mall, walk around like robots, just looking at things. And we can't do that right now. So we've got to, you know, talk to our families.
And your friends. Skype with your friends, Zoom with your friends. You know, get in touch with them. Give them warm feelings about how you care for them so that they are not all alone and all by themselves. I mean, there are a lot of single folks, a lot of single people in New York City particularly, who are stuck in a tiny, tiny apartment someplace.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we need to think of everybody, what everybody's going through. I love the stories that I get on the news of how people are making a difference and how they're helping each other and how they're being much more cognizant of the fact that John Doe may be going through a lot more than I am.
Yeah. I think that's really important. I want to emphasize that point as well, because right now, as we're recording this, over the next several weeks, we're going to have a lot of bad news, and people can focus on the numbers as they build, but focus on how many people are being healed. For example, just a few days ago, I saw that 100,000 people were healed for the coronavirus. It was 150,000 when I saw like a day or two ago. So there are a number of people that are recovering. Focus on these great things, these stories, as you said, of people reaching out, helping each other, of self-sacrifice. Think about what you can do to reach out to people who are maybe isolated during this time. It's just me, my wife, and my dog, and it has been for 3 weeks. But there are some people that are by themselves. But we've got this great technology. We don't have to get together. And I'm not saying, because a lot of people are doing this. They're sneaking around. They're getting together with their neighbors. Don't do that. Stay safe. Do the social distancing. It'll only be a little while. You know, Anne Frank was in her apartment with 8 other people for like 2 years. So we can do this for a few weeks. And we can just kind of hunker down, take it as a reset, and come out of it better.
Well, I think you're 100% right, Brian. It is really about getting to know ourselves and getting to know who we are and who we want to be. For some people, it's going to take a little bit longer because we are spending so much time being concerned about what we don't have.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What's the positivity of this? What do I have that's important?
Yeah.
Actually, what do I need to focus on?
Just this morning, I created a meme because I'm like, instead of focusing on what we can't do, we can't go shopping, we can't go to restaurants, we can't go to theater, what can you do? You can watch a movie on Netflix. I mean, most of us have Netflix. You know, a lot of people have spare time. I'm actually busier than ever, but some people have spare time. So take that time and watch a movie. You know, start to meditate. Take more naps, you know. Take some time to do some self-care, you know. Clean out a closet. You know, we've got, this is the time we can do all those things that will really refresh our spirits and take a reset and come back, like I said, more grateful and happier people.
I think we're going to do this. I think we're going to do a great job of it. And I think you're right that it's going to take us a lot longer from the financial aspect and the economic aspect to come back. But maybe that's what we're supposed to be doing. Maybe we're supposed to be concentrating on things that are much more meaningful. And I would not be surprised if people do not come out of this with jobs that do things and change things that make a difference instead of just bringing home a paycheck.
Yes. Yes. And I'm telling my wife this morning, it's going to be really interesting to see how we transition back out of this and what changes are permanent. As a podcaster, it was interesting. Podcast listening is actually down, which is kind of counterintuitive, but a lot of people aren't driving to work right now where they were listening to podcasts. They can't go to the gym where they were listening to podcasts. So listenership is down, but the loyal listeners are still listening. But, you know, a lot of employers are going to say, you know what, we don't need all these people in the office. And a lot of people are going to say, I don't need to drive in the, especially people in the congested urban areas where they're commuting an hour and a half each day, every day. That'll reduce pollution on our planet. That'll reduce our carbon footprint. So there's a lot of good things that can come out of this.
No, I agree with you. I saw a picture of LA from before and then today, and I've spent a lot of time in LA and I didn't recognize it because there was no smog.
Right, right.
Because it's one of the heavily trafficked areas in our country. So it was wonderful to see that. It's a beautiful city, and it was wonderful to see that.
Well, I realize even with myself, my wife and I hardly ever leave the house. I mean, it's not unusual for me to go anywhere for a week. But still, I make those quick trips to the grocery store. I want to have something, and I just go pick it up. But now I'm like, I'm only going to go to the grocery store once a week at most. So we'll just make do until we actually absolutely have to go. And that's a habit we should all try to get into, to stop making unnecessary trips.
Right, right. And you know, so I have cereal tonight instead of meat, you know.
Right.
Sometimes there's a sacrifice that's involved in keeping ourselves safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the more we realize that maybe we don't need every single comfort in the world, maybe we need to learn to sacrifice a little bit so that we can say, boy, I'm capable of doing that. Wow, I did that. Wow, I did this.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we do that, it builds on our self-esteem because we become more powerful than we were the day before.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Sue, I'm going to, we're going just about an hour now. You and I, we talked, there's so much we could talk about. I'm sure we could talk all afternoon, but I really appreciate you being here. I'm going to ask you if you have any final thoughts before we close out.
I think the most important thing for all of this is for everyone to realize how loved they are and how we have these extraordinary angelic beings who are around us every single day. We all do, every one of us, and that they are here to help us through this time that we are going through. And that just to know that you are loved and you are appreciated and that you will help make this an extraordinarily better world.
Oh, thanks. That's a great way to end. And I just want to give everybody your website again. It's www.suepagini.com. That's Sue, S-U-E, Pagini, P-R-P, Pagini, P-I-G-H-I-N-I. The book is Expect the Extraordinary. You can find it anywhere and at Sue's website.
Thank you. And it's been a wonderful afternoon. Thank you so much.
Yes, it was great seeing you. I will hopefully talk to you later.
Okay.
Be well. Bye.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the episode. I want to make it really easy for you to reach me. So just send me a text to 31996 and simply text the word growth, G-R-O-W-T-H. In fact, you can right now just say, hey, Siri, send a message to 31996. And when Siri asks you what you want to send, just say growth. You can do the same thing with OK Google. Thanks a lot. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to Grief to Growth. Brian hopes that you find this episode helpful and will come back for future episodes. Brian's best-selling book, Grief to Growth, Planted, Not Buried, is a great resource for anyone who is coping with grief or knows someone who is. If you enjoy the podcast and would like to support it, there are three things you can do to help. The first is to share the podcast with someone that you think it will help. The second is to go to iTunes, rate, and review the episode. The third way you can support the podcast is by becoming a patron. Head over to www.patreon.com/grief2growth. That's patreon.com/grief, the number 2, growth, and sign up to make a small monthly donation. Patrons get access to exclusive bonus content and knowledge that you are helping to spread the message of grief to growth. For more about Brian and Grief to Growth, visit www.grief2growth.com.
Hey there, if you liked this episode, come on over and talk about it. Let me know what you liked. If you didn't like this episode, come on over and talk about it. Let me know what you didn't like. Go to grief2growth.com/community and look for Talk About the Podcast. I'll see you there.